Come, Holy Spirit, make your presence known to us. Enter our hearts, our minds, our ears. Open us to hear your word and use me to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And the first four verses consist of a very concise version of the Lord's Prayer, which we've gone over this morning. We've done the more lengthy version. We've sung it. Jessica prayed it with us. So we've covered that part. We're going to start at verse 5 and go through this, and I'm going to talk about it as I preach. So you'll hear the Word of God throughout the sermon this morning. And this passage that we have is about prayer. Jesus, in the book of Luke, prays a lot. Starts with prayer. It ends with Jesus praying, and Jesus prays throughout the book of Luke. And this particular instance, what's going on, Jesus is praying, and the disciples say to him afterwards, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus says, "Okay." And he begins to teach them this very concise prayer. It's not wordy. It's not flowery. It's straight to the point, and we as a church have been praying it for hundreds of years. Maybe even thousands of years. It's a bold prayer. Jesus starts by saying, "Father." Not "our Father," the way we do it, which is more formal, but "Father." And the word Jesus uses for Father is a very intimate word. It would be, it's Abba, it would be like us saying, "Daddy." So think about that the next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, and you're saying this: "Daddy, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It kind of changes things a little bit when we think of us praying to Daddy instead of Father. And then I started thinking about my father, who I call Daddy. I'm 53 years old, but my father is my daddy. Now, I'll talk to you and I'll refer to him as my dad or my father. But if he were sitting right there, and if I were talking to him, he would be Daddy. I call him up on the phone. I say, "Hey, Daddy, how you doing?" And we have a conversation. And that's the way it goes. Because that's the relationship that I have with him. He loves me. I love him. He's there for me. If I hurt, he hurts. If I'm happy, he's happy. He wants to try to help me out and care for me any way that he can. He is currently in Mississippi because sometime yesterday, my brother called him and had a problem. And my dad hopped in his car and drove to Mississippi. I still don't have the lowdown on exactly what happened. I got a text late last night saying, "We're in Mississippi." I'll find out later. But I know that my daddy was being a daddy because he takes care of all his children. That's what he does. And so Jesus is trying to communicate with us, when we pray, we need to pray as if we're praying to our daddy. Not our earthly daddy, but our daddy in heaven. That's the kind of relationship Jesus wants us to have with God. It's personal. It's intimate. And we're doing more than communicating. We're in communion with God when we're praying this way. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to think about it as that kind of relationship. So we start there, and then Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. And he could have stopped at that point, and we just could have hit everything as we're praying. Do this, and then you say this, and then you say this next thing. But Jesus wanted us to understand what the prayer is about and why we are praying it. So he told a story. And this, it started in verse 5, and this is what it says. Jesus said this: "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. This is an interesting parable, and Jesus wanted it to help us, told it to help us figure out more about prayer. So, I'm going to try to help us figure this out. Have you ever needed anything late at night, in the middle of the night? Ever had a need in the middle of the night? Am I the only one? Yes, okay, people have done. Who did you call? Your parents, maybe? A good friend? Someone that you know that if I call at midnight, they will get in their car and they will come over and they will help take care of things with me. Right? We all have those people in our lives. Someone we can call in the middle of the night. And we've done it. We've had an emergency. I've had an emergency that way. Mary Catherine was in the hospital. Tire was flat. Needed some help. Called someone. They got out of bed. They came and they helped us. But what if you get a knock on your door at midnight and the person wants bread or an egg or a cup of sugar? That would be kind of weird, right? We might get a little upset because at midnight, if someone's knocking on your door, we expect it to be an emergency, right? You're kind of startled. You're thinking, okay, this is an emergency. And so if someone comes and they're knocking at your door, hey, Dondra, you know, we got your ring set up there. Someone's knocking at your door. You've got an alert. You look and you see who it is. You hit the intercom button and says, yeah, what do you need? I need some bread. He's like, are you kidding me? You need bread? I'm not going to get up and give you bread. Go back to bed. That's what we would do, right? We wouldn't give up because bread at midnight, come on. But Jesus, as he introduces this parable, says, suppose you have a friend. So Jesus is wanting us to put ourselves in the position of the friend who's going to knock at the door. Suppose you have a friend. Can you imagine going to a friend at midnight and asking for some bread, and that friend tells you no? Well, we could, right? We could imagine going to a friend's house at midnight and that friend telling us no because all we want is some bread. But really, at this time, in this era, in this culture, we wouldn't be able to imagine someone not getting up to help. You would get up and you would help. It's hard for us to understand that because our idea of hospitality is so different now. Because we have cars, we travel by car, by plane. We travel by plane, we get a car wherever we're going. There are hotels, there are restaurants, there are convenience stores. We have our cell phones. If we're going to be late, we call and we say, hey, I'm coming, but I'm going to be late. It's going to be around midnight. Don't worry about feeding me. Just unlock the door for us. We'll come in. We'll go to bed quietly. Everything will be okay. But that's not what's happening in this parable. What's happening, the unusual behavior is not the person who shows up at midnight wanting to be fed. The unusual behavior is the friend who didn't want to get out of bed. That's unusual because in this culture, you help each other out. This would have been a small peasant community. They would have been one-room houses attached to each other. They would have shared a courtyard. So they would have been very close to all of the families. And all of the families were expected to help each other. So if someone comes to your house at midnight, you weren't expecting them, they're hungry because they've been out traveling, you have nothing to feed them, it would have been shameful for you not to offer them anything to eat. So what do? You go next door and you ask for some bread. Now the text tells us that the sleeping neighbor didn't want to get up, already in bed, didn't want to disturb the family. One room, he got up, everybody would wake up. But they were probably awake already because of the knocking on the door. And guess what? The houses were so close together that it probably woke up more than just that one family. And so this neighbor continued to knock. I really need some bread. Will you open the door? I need some bread. The neighbor was bold. The neighbor had shameless audacity, which the Yiddish word for this is chutzpah. You've heard that word? So you have chutzpah. And so that's extreme nerve. That would be like killing your mother and your father and then throwing yourself on the mercy of the court because you're an orphan. That is nerve. That's the kind of nerve I'm talking about. And that's what they're describing, Jesus is describing in this passage. This neighbor was bold. He went over, he knocked on the door, he kept knocking until the neighbor got up and gave him some bread. So Jesus is telling this story so we can better understand about how we should pray. He first started with telling us, okay, it's Father, so Daddy. He wants us to have that close relationship with God, that we would call God Daddy. And then he wants us to be bold like that neighbor who continued to ask for the bread that he needed until he got it. So it's how we talk about, give us this day our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. This person needed bread. He said, be bold. Be bold and shameless about asking for what you need. So when we shamelessly ask for what we need, what will happen? Will God be like that sleeping neighbor? Is that what Jesus is trying to tell us? Well, you know, God's going to be like the sleeping neighbor and he's not going to get up, so you have to keep kind of knocking at God's door? No, what Jesus is trying to do is compare God to this neighbor. Because Jesus is saying, you know what? Even this neighbor who is sleepy and irritable finally gets up and answers your request for something you need. God is better than that. God will do better than that. God will give better than that. He says that even if you have this sleepy and irritated neighbor, he's going to do better than God because God neither sleeps nor slumbers. And God will answer our prayers. These next verses help tell us that. We start in verse 9. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks the door will be opened. The verses tell us that at each turn, at the knock, the door was open, ask, you will receive, seek, and you'll find. You don't even have to do all three. Just one, and God will answer. But this causes us a problem, because if we really think about it, we could start thinking, well, okay, all I have to do is knock, or ask, or seek, and God will answer my prayer. Everything I ask for, I will be given. My daddy in heaven will give me everything. Right? We could start thinking that way. We could start thinking about God as being a genie in the bottle, and all we have to do is rub the bottle, God will come out, and we'll get our wish answered. We can fall into that trap. But, have you ever had an unanswered prayer? I have. Anyone else? Just me? Yeah, I see them. Or have you ever had your prayer answered in a way you didn't want it answered? We have. We've all had that. So that these verses are saying, you know, if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, it'll be answered. So we're missing something here. So let's go on. Verses 11 through 13 might help us. Verse 11 says this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? We find Jesus comparing God to earthly fathers. He started by calling God Abba, Daddy, and now he's come back. He's comparing God to good fathers. And he says, you're a good dad. You're not going to give your child who asks for a fish or an egg, a snake or a scorpion. You're going to give a fish or an egg. And God is better than earthly fathers, so how much more is God going to give? Jesus is saying he's going to give even more. But don't we sometimes feel like we're left holding a snake? What we have after we've been praying isn't what we prayed at all. We feel like, but I got a snake. My good father, my daddy in heaven, I've been praying, but I have a snake. What am I supposed to think about that? And too often people think, when this happens, well, I must not be praying hard enough, or I must not be living my life good enough, because I have a snake. And I've been praying and asking God, my daddy, to do better than this. But I have a snake. What Jesus is telling us, that we can't claim that every time we pray that we're going to end up with a life with no trouble. The Scripture doesn't support that. So we can't think that all I have to do is pray and I'm going to get exactly what I need. But it tells us, when we pray, if we knock, the door will be opened. If we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. But what will be opened? What will we receive? What will we find? What we will find is the Holy Spirit. That's the good gift that God will give us if we pray, if we knock, if we ask. If we seek, the Holy Spirit will be given to us. We won't be insulated from the hardships of life and the trouble of life, but we will have the Holy Spirit to go with us throughout life. We may go through the valley, and it may be difficult. It will be difficult. But God will be with us through the Holy Spirit throughout it all, if we pray. And that is wonderful, wonderful news. The only way we can have this, though, is through prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He's teaching us to pray. And he tells us that if you have this relationship, this really close relationship to God, so God becomes your daddy in heaven, that you can have this, and that God will then give you the Spirit. And that's wonderful. So I have a question for you today. What is your prayer life like? Think about it for a second. If you had one word to describe your prayer life, what would the word be if you described it? Would it be shameless? Are you shamelessly going to God with your needs? Your true needs, not your I really would like that Mercedes need. I'm talking about your true needs. Are you going to God with your true needs? Are you shameless about that? Or would you describe your prayer life more as shameful? You know, it's been 3 days and I haven't talked to God. Is it close or is it distant? Think about it. Think about it this week and where you are with your prayer life. And then go to God. Spend time with God so that you can develop that kind of relationship where God is your daddy. Because God wants to be there for you and wants to provide for your needs. But we have to open up that channel. It's there, but we have to be willing to be a part of it. So think about it. And develop that relationship with God. I think you'll be glad that you did. Let's pray. Dear God, Thank you for allowing us to approach you as our daddy and for the gift of the Spirit. Help us to realize just how special this relationship with you is, and help us to spend time with you each day in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.